there. This is the A Lot To Say podcast, a conversation-based project focused on unconventional career paths and the projects that consume us. I'm your host, Gary Williams, or Gaz, as many call me. And A Lot To Say is part of the Alts Projects family of content, obsessing about the overlap between creativity, technology, and culture. I'm fortunate to spend my days working alongside technologists, artists, researchers, and people who just generally give a damn about the world we live in. And I'm very lucky to be able to hear of some incredible career journeys over that time from some really inspiring people. So I am particularly energized by the projects that I hear people are experimenting and tinkering on along the way. And I thought, you know what, it's time to put these stories out there with the A Lot To Say podcast project. I can't wait for you to hopefully discover some new and lesser known stories about the things people get wrapped up in and what led them to this point. This is A Lot To Say. Welcome to my final A Lot To Say podcast for 2020 with the extremely funny guys, pardon the pun, from the Funny Business Podcast, Lachlan Bradford and Robbie Hicks. This was a really fun one. The guys have been churning out podcast episodes nonstop in 2020, and I think they should be super proud of what they've done. They've gathered a whole audience of people to follow what they're doing and who happily follow thanks to their they just have really natural style and certainly their banter. And in regards to that banter, as opposed to my experience, which was very singular and even quite lonely at times, I sort of find until that, that tape's rolling and you're recording the interview. These guys have bounced ideas off each other live, been testing, experimenting and just kept each other's momentum up all year while interviewing some really fantastic storytellers. So very, very cool. These people, from music industry and sporting world, business coaches, technologists, even, non-alcoholic beer brewers, they're leaders in their industry and more. They've got a huge bunch of conversations to draw from this year. And I've got no doubt it would have expanded their minds tenfold in the process, which we touch upon a bit. Whilst this is a fun one and we have a bit of a joke and a laugh due to it being the last episode for 2020 and almost a little bit of a recap on it, we also touch on some really open and honest parts of the guy's journey, which I really appreciate. I sincerely hope they go from strength to strength off the back of this very creative output of theirs in 2020, and well done to them. So enough fucking, waffling on. This is the final episode of A Lot To Say podcast for 2020 with Lachlan Bradford and Robbie Hicks of the Funny Business Podcast. Cheers. Well, A Lot To Say podcast times Funny Business mashup. This is bloody great. How are you going, guys?
Oh, we're bloody excited to have a chat with you, Gaz Williams. We've heard some things.
I'll tell you what, we are pumped.
We are pumped, beyond pumped. We've got our cans of beer ready. We're just ready to go.
It's my birthday, actually, so I'm having a bloody great
birthday
time.
With us.
I am.
Oh, and you know what would be fun podcast, mate? I'm so sorry for ruining your birthday.
Happy birthday!
Yeah, you know what? I'm shipping my kids off. I don't want them. I just want to, hang out with yourselves.
Oh, I like that. Good excuse to nip away from the kids too. Look, honey, I'm busy. I'm talking to the Funny Business boys. Can't get better than that, can it?
Introduce yourselves. Tell us some, just in case anyone who's listening to this hasn't heard your podcast, and we'll dive into, I guess, this whole project and what it's meant to you over the course of the year. But introduce yourselves just with your name and I guess how you two came together to be mates.
Well, to be honest, every time someone's asked us that question, I sort of butcher it. So I'll introduce myself first and throw the hospital handball to Robbie, I think.
Oh, thanks, mate.
I'm Lockie, a co-host of the Funny Business Podcast.
And Gaz, if you can't see him, he just waved to you.
I was like, what am I doing? That's how I butchered it already. It's been 10 seconds and I've already stuffed it up.
I mean, for everyone's context, like you guys are used to recording it, live, basically using Zoom, right? Like you're doing video always. And then I've chucked you on this faceless program where you're just sort of recording an audio track.
It's good though. I'm digging it because you can't really see what we're doing at the moment. I speak with my body, So it's probably glad there's no cameras.
True. You're on fire today, Albert Bradford.
Well,
anyway,
it's game day.
It's game day. And I'm Rob. So usually we go on our intros, we rattle off and we argue over who's going to do the introduction. But it's Lock and Rob and Lock, whatever you want to call it. We started the Funny Business Podcast in April this year, and it's been a bit of a whirlwind, really. It's been exciting year, and things have, I don't know, really accelerated at a pace that we didn't imagine it would be like this when we first kicked it off, but we're loving it.
Yeah, it's been an absolutely...
Life-changing?
Oh, it actually has, yeah. Well, we've both recently quit our jobs and are going all in. We're at the table, we're just cashing in the chips, aren't we?
We got 2-7 off suit, and we said, perfect, let's go all in, huh?
But we'll see how we go. But yeah, life-changing, yep.
I'm going to ask you a bunch. Like, we'll keep it pretty lighthearted. And I mean, for context, this is a... You know, this is my end of year thing, you know, almost like a reflection on what it's been. I really wanted to have a bit of fun with her, but I really wanted to sort of, I guess, under the framing of talk about a particular project that someone might have launched into this year as well. Yeah, just sort of have a fun chat with someone, because that's what I've most liked about doing a podcast project. I haven't spat out as many as yourselves, and Christ, it's hard work most of the time, but I was really keen to chat to yourselves, and it's interesting that we're getting a little bit of overlap with the guests, which is very cool, because we've come at it from different angles and then sort of finding our way to some pretty interesting people.
You just had Andy Miller, Jaden, Lockflicked us through the Jaden episode the other day. It was
good. Thank you for the shout outs. I mean,
I love getting mentioned.
I love hearing my name.
We probably, like, Locke has been saying to me all day is that he's just so happy that it's his turn to talk and someone to ask him questions, because he's just ready to talk about himself, you know?
I was like, I wonder if they'll start, you know, asking me a bunch of questions. I'll be like, who's fucking interview is this?
It's funny you say that, because we actually had some questions written down and we wanted to ask you a few things, but we don't want to hijack the show.
No. Let's do it. This is all casual vibe. No, I'm stoked to have you involved. I think it's amazing. Not just that you did it and you're entering into this I guess, you know, life changing sort of next steps type phase, but also that you sustain the motivation over the year, and you sort of you've really, really engaged heavily. I think, you know, in regards to the episode I did with Jaden, who you'd likewise, I'd also listened to your episode with him a little while before, and it got me thinking about a lot of stuff, not just relating to him, but I gave you a mountain of shout outs because I just think I really appreciated your approach this year, which was, you know, welcome, high energy, pretty casual, very personable approach to, you know, a project that just happened to be a podcast. So look, tell us about like going from, look, as a base mark, let's say mid-March when sort of, you know, most of the country in Australia got shut down by COVID, into launching in April. What sort of happened, and how quickly did it sort of fester from idea through to pressing record?
Well, look, to be honest, we thanks for the ripping intro and compliments. Nice compliments. Yeah, we do love compliments, and especially from you guys. So yeah, firstly, thanks for that. I don't know. I was just asking Rob the same question a couple of weeks ago, wasn't it? And I was like, I can't even remember sort of how it got started, but it was more like everything was sort of shutting down, and I was sort of looking at COVID a couple of weeks before, and I was kind of freaking out, hypochondriac a little bit.
I'd done a panic shop.
Yeah, you know, I'd done a panic buy, and I was like, what is going on? Like the world's collapsing. What's going on?
I went stocked up on Jack Mayo.
You did, the cupie, didn't you?
You love it.
So yeah, I don't know. It's been that this year has just flown. It's felt like we've done this for the last 10 years, to be honest.
100%. Like when we started it in that March timeframe, like lucky enough, I got married in Feb. I don't know, lucky or unlucky enough, I was one of the last weddings to go ahead before they canned weddings. And in March, it sort of just came where everyone started, got pushed from home. And we found ourselves with, I don't know, I'm sure everyone else found the same opportunity, was you can either sit and watch every TV show under the sun on Netflix and find yourself sitting on the couch, or Locke and I, you saw it more as an opportunity going, well, the playing field's been leveled now. We've got an opportunity to do something here that we probably wouldn't have been able to have the opportunity to do pre-COVID. So for us, COVID has been a blessing in disguise. It's been a horrible time for a lot of people, and it's been challenging for both of us personally, with friends and being away from family and family stuff going on. But once we realized that we started putting out these episodes, and like you mentioned, we try to create a bit of optimism and hope in a pretty shitty time. So pumping out these episodes and seeing that it was resonating with people, and people were enjoying the type of content we're putting out. We just were energized by that and said, fuck it, let's just keep doing it. You know, why stop now?
And I think being so close to the people who are listening and just genuinely engaging and chatting with them and hearing what they're interested in and what they're going through and just having that connection has really spurred us on. I know, like, it's just making me want to keep doing things. As soon as you get to people who you don't know outside your circle saying, hey, love what you're doing, you're kind of like, shit, now I have to be on and switch on and treat this thing a bit more seriously, but still keep the vibe. And it's just been, things have moved that quickly. I think it's been good for us because we haven't stewed on ideas and anything. We haven't attached ourselves to anything. And we've sort of just,
yeah,
full guns blazing and just sort of made quick decisions. And, you know, some were right, some were wrong. We can easily change things up. And if we're ourselves, it makes things easier. We can just say, hey, sorry, this isn't working. And people get it because we're not trying to make things glossy and perfect. We're just trying to be ourselves.
Yeah, yeah, no, fair. No, I'll look, that sort of comes through definitely. And look, obviously, it's not just myself. There's a bunch of other people that have, you know, appreciate that real natural vibe. And I think, you know, I think even like people just appreciate seeing, you know, some friends going at it and doing a project together, which is a very cool part. I'm not going to sort of do that thing where I ask you to, I don't know, talk about your favorite episodes or your favorite guests or anything like that, because A, there's been so many, and B, then you'll start to get into, I don't know, like ranking favorites or something. But tell us about how you two are mates. I didn't quite pick up on that before. How have you known each other? How long have you known each other? And then how did you come to become mates?
That's a funny one. Actually, I was best friend. I still am best friends. We've got a tight group of mates with Hamish and Jamie. And they were just part, they grew up with Robbie playing cricket and footy. And I remember seeing this little 55-kilo dripping wet forward pocket for Richmond Tigers snag one on the G, and I'm like, I definitely know that name. And then I figured it was Hamish and Jamie's friend, so I was like, I definitely need to get on board and get to know this cat. And when he got the flick and he came back down to earth, he you know, came back down to our group, and then it was like love at first sight, wasn't it?
It was.
We moved out together pretty quickly.
We moved out together pretty quickly. We it was funny, we both left, flew the nest?
Flew out the nest, I don't know.
Whatever the saying
left
is.
Left the nest.
Left the nest. We did the flying.
But we still got our washing done by our parents.
Yeah, I had to take my washing home by mum because we didn't have a washing machine at our house when we first moved out.
We didn't really want one. We weren't pushing hard for one.
No.
It wasn't the first thing on the list.
Definitely not.
No.
But, you know, Locke and I moved out together, and then so we've been living in each other's pockets now for I don't know however many years, and we started another business together called Obi & Co., which sold slides, like flip-flops, but just the
Australia's first slides company.
Australia's first slides company, we claimed it. And that was a pretty exciting experience. We went pretty hard on the old influencer marketing and had lots of eyes and impressions and flogged a few flip-flops around. But at the end of the day, we shut up shop on that business because we weren't passionate about being shoe salesmen. We just wanted to start and get in the business world. And since then, we've sort of evolved. We've done some different content businesses. We've had some social media things. And for us, we've always sort of been like, planning and scheming to do our next thing, and for just timing and however it all happened, the podcast sort of
was the next idea,
and that spark that happened, and this one sort of just latched on, and we're running with it.
Hey, when you throw enough shit against the wall, something's going to stick, Gaz. You know,
absolutely. I feel like I'm talking. I've been saying that for years. So a podcast was like on the cards for yourselves specifically, without knowing full well what the subject matter was going to be.
We talked about doing heaps of different podcasts between like whether it was like sport or cricket, whether it was like cannabis, whether it was like
just segments, even just whatever. We didn't really know, but we knew that there was a thirst for that type of content. So now I think with podcast, it was just easy for us. We're ugly enough as it is, so it's like let's hide behind the camera and just get. We couldn't have our own radio show, you know. It's that hard to get on Fox FM, Kiss FM, all that sort of stuff. Triple J. We can just create our own and. There we go. We were lucky enough to have really good friends in the business world, like Robbie's mentor by Nick Pulse, who's a legend, isn't he?
Yeah, he was. And we feel so sorry for him being our first ever guest. If you go back and listen to our first episode, it stinks.
It's 10
and
minutes.
We were terrible. Like, we hadn't really – one of the things I've definitely learned, and Locke and I can say 100% speaking on his behalf, is I think having these conversations with all these amazing people who are uber successful in whatever they're doing – and how they've lived their lives, it's brought us out of our shells and given us more confidence to back ourselves and our beliefs and have conversations with incredible people doing interesting things like yourself, Gaz. And it's just, to be honest, when you mentioned earlier, it's been life-changing, 100%. I can't remember another time that I've been able to feel as energized by something that I've been involved in a long time.
Yeah.
Thanks.
That's really cool. I might start on, might have a, like a slightly personal question, but I hope you know where it's coming from. Did you sort of have feelings of, I guess, a bit of inadequacy or imposter syndrome to start, but then you started to really sort of like find your place within it and sort of growing confidence as you went? Or was it just sort of you weren't too fussed, even though it was a bit weird and scary to begin with?
Well, I think I'm kind of a little bit, I don't know if it's a blessing or a curse, but I don't really care about that sort of stuff. Like, I'm willing to throw myself in the deep end for me personally anyway. So, yeah. While it's always nerve-wracking, I just knew just putting myself out there or putting ourselves out there, we were just going to get better as the longer we'd done it. And I think being around people like that, especially early doors in the business world, their encouragement and support was just, it all came down to confidence and just backing yourself and just doing it, not actioning your thoughts and ideas, really.
Imposter syndrome is something we do talk about a lot on the pod for people who may experience that anxiety, whether that's in a workplace setting or a friendship setting, whatever it may be. But for us in this, with the podcasting thing, I think it was more just because it was a brand new skill, you know, and learning a skill, I don't think is the most difficult thing for people who are, I think, like we pride ourselves on being able to pick things up and be a bit of a generalist. So learning new skills, I think that was the hardest part for us, was sort of getting into the swing, getting into the groove of things. Like, how do you even put a podcast on Apple and Spotify? What equipment do you need? Yeah, how do you
Googling everything?
How do you edit a show? How do you do theme music?
Yeah, how do you get listeners?
How do you get listeners? You know, like,
who cares?
Yeah, all that sort of stuff. So they're the things that we did once we pulled the trigger and started to do it. Like, it's the things you need to uncover, the unknowns that you know that are there, but it's about, you don't get to uncover the unknowns until you progress further forward. So,
and I love just being an explorer. I want to be a bit of a pioneer. You know what I mean?
Like, where's Wally?
If there's one legacy I want to leave to my kids, it's just, I'll put the goggles on and I'll go, you know?
Goggles. You know, Gad, you know he doesn't even drive. He wants to be an explorer, but he doesn't even drive, huh? How can you explore from your backyard?
Binoculars.
So where are you both located? I should have asked that. I know, but just in case people who are listening don't know, where is home?
Start of the Great Ocean Road in Torquay. So we're very lucky and blessed. I moved in 2 days before the big second lockdown in Victoria, in Melbourne. Feeling very lucky. I feel like I just really got there right in time, because now, like, people are dying to move here and there's just nothing. Robbie's been here from the start of the year. It's like being like his second home though, hasn't it?
Yeah, it has been. I've been planning the move down the coast for the last few years until my missus finished her teaching degree, and when we got married on the
Great Ocean.
Me and my wife, yeah. But it's been exciting because, like, we obviously live around the corner. It's really helped us be over that period of time during COVID, and we're both working full time and having to only being around the corner from each other to do things in the morning and stopping in for touch bases at lunch and then after work. I don't think it would have been possible if we lived, if we weren't so close geographically.
Yeah, things were lucky, you know, like it was like take an opportunity at the moment. Like, you know, we don't have that much responsibility. We've got our work, we got this, but, you know, we don't have kids yet. Let's just do it.
It helps when you're broke and you got no assets, Gaz.
True that. Yeah, it's like that. What is it? The Simpsons call. It's like, I had two money and no kids. don't worry. I quote it all the time. Tell us about when you started on the guest trainers and you started getting them on board. Do you remember? Was there sort of a tipping point where you sort of, you were like, yeah, fuck yeah, I've really settled into a groove now? Like, as in, was a particular conversation with a particular guest, or was it just sort of seemed to click after a little while? Maybe you were seeing spikes in the listeners or returning comments or compliments on LinkedIn or wherever else you were promoting it. Do you remember sort of moments, or was it even by the fact that you were just locking in people that you just wouldn't have normally associated with and you were just getting easier access?
Oh, I think we had a bit of dirt on our earlier guests, so we bribed them. and then, you know, guests attract guests. Nah, to be honest, I think the tipping point was, I think, going on the Today Show on Channel 9. We were lucky enough to get like 3 minutes when we went to get five, weren't we?
Yeah,
They made me look stupid. They made me look stupid because I was that prepared. That's the only thing I've prepared for in my life, and I kind of butchered it, but it was funny. You can go back and have a look if you want. But that was a big tipping point for us, I think. I think people seeing it. I think it was Father's Day, wasn't it?
It was Father's Day. We had a we'd worked really, really hard to get some amazing guests prior to that point. So we'd talked to people like Paul Ruse, Chris Wilson, yep. Jackie Frank, Mark Matthews.
Oh, Mark Matthews was big. We texted each other and we were like, we got fucking Mark Matthews, your kid.
We had James Tidswell from Bottom.
Oh, yeah.
We had like Tidswell. Eric Gerrards, Laura Henshaw, Sam Wood. And then all of a sudden, once we sort of stacked those guests up, we got a call from Channel 9. They said, come on. And that, for us, I think that sort of validated our hard work to an extent. Like, not to the say, hey, you guys have made it, but more like, hey, you've got something worthwhile here enough that we're going to put you in the media. And we've had a couple other things since then. But for us, it's been like, it is very much like a roller coaster because it's hard to sustain, I guess, that attention, because that's what we're all in the attention game, right? We're all trying to get clicks and eyes and get people to listen to what we're doing. So if you've got...
Listen to me.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. If we're trying to be also thoughtful for the people who are listening, we don't want them to spend all day, every day with us, because that'd be insane. Or we like our space too, you know?
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
Yep. Yeah, and how about now? Like in this stage, I'm fortunate to know a few people that you've sort of had on the podcast, but definitely lately, like your Brian and Colton, your Dan Remy's, and you know, Jadon Comerford and Andy Miller, and I've just been listening to the Trad Nathan episode, which is great. We've got a lot of mutual associates, but I actually am getting this like. I'm sort of seeing how a guest leads to a guest leads to a guest. And, you know, if I have a look at your guests, I can sort of tell in some ways how, you know, Trad Nathan and Andy Miller and Alex Zachariah and Jadon Comerford are all sort of interconnected in some way. So how are you finding, like, at the stage now? Because are you doing a lot of outreach to gather guests, or are you finding, like, you interview someone and they're like, fuck, you know who you should talk to? You should talk to X. Is that sort of the train you're on at the moment?
Yeah, look, I think from the outset, our main goal for the podcast was to form the connections with the people we were talking to. So, you know, guests get 100%. It was more just recommendations like, hey, you really get along with my friend who does this. And we're like, hell yeah, let's chat to them. And it didn't really matter what industry. We're intrigued by everything. So we're just curious cats, aren't we?
I think it's one of those ones that's pretty interesting. I don't know, but interested to hear your thoughts, Gaz. Like, when did you kick off your pod? What month?
Whose fucking podcast is this? You're asking me questions? It's funny because I've been, you know, I know what you mean about that sort of imposter syndrome thing. You know, I built it up too much in my head, right? Like I'd had it in mind, talked to a bunch of people about it forever, didn't do much with it. I definitely had a particular thing in mind, which was that I was always going to do them in person. But I probably use that as an excuse, like, oh, I've been too hard and all that. So COVID probably, you know, probably presented a good opportunity to, you know, kickstart it. If in-person wasn't a possibility, well, then I may as well just do it online. And what I did was I launched out and did sort of 15 interviews all in once. And I wanted to, like, come out and do it with the big bang, but then I sort of made it too big a project for myself. So I ended up pushing it out later and later. But then probably... recorded most of them in sort of June or so, or maybe May and June, and then eventually pushed it out all together over a 2-week span in August. And it was good. I sort of rode the energy and just like absolutely fucking went for it. And it was fun, but then I was cooked at the end of it. And so, yeah, so it was sort of
15 and put it out in 2 weeks.
Sorry?
You put them all out. You did a big batch. You did a big batch of recording and then pumped them all out. You must've been cooked after that 2 weeks.
Yeah, it was, because it was a lot of promotion surrounding it as well. It was sort of interchanging between email newsletters and LinkedIn and Instagram and Facebook and, you know, getting various other like sort of micro Facebook group communities. Like I was posting through there and then other people would share it out. So I was sort of engaging like heavily, commenting on everything. And I was utterly exhausted. I remember pouring myself a Starwood and having a fucking young Henry's or something at the end of the 2 weeks and just like pure relief. Yeah. Absolutely. Only the best.
I love it.
Only the best here in Footscray.
Hey, I like Footscray. What's the hotel that they go to? Rourke and all that. The Railway, I think it's called.
Oh, yeah. Oh, Rourke Smith.
Yeah.
Oh, the Railway in Yarraville.
Yeah. I think they go there. That's a good place.
They do. The pub closes it off for them when they have their, like the day after they won the grand final.
Oh, just get the red rope out, fellas. Come on.
Oh, he's had a hard life. Huh? Poor Rourke was out surfing yesterday. If you're listening, Rourke, go do some running, huh?
Christ, hard life. Hard life. Yeah, so look, the project, look, it's been fun. It's been an amazing thing, but it's not so much, I think for me, how do I express this? Like it's been really good in terms of ranking really well. Like it ended up, because of that concentrated burst of promotion and effort, it sort of rose up the rankings really, really fast. So as a metric, it was like great, but it was more just the part, I hated the internet part, which is like, you know, getting it all ready for promote, you know, distributing out. But because I edited it myself, the part I loved the most was listening back to the conversation. That was my favorite part of every episode I've recorded.
Just listening back and just soaking it all in, Gaz. I know the feeling.
Yeah, yeah.
When I'm doing the edits at 1 a.m. and just pumping it through, I'm just soaking it all in, leaving some notes.
It's one thing that we definitely did underestimate is the amount of work that goes into literally like build, record, plan, build, record, launch.
Yeah, it's one like a new product. It's like a new bloody product every two times a week for us.
And now we've pushed it to five times a week. Yeah, so we're doing. So you think about it, it's just like if we were a tech company thinking about our release cycle, how often we're releasing, we're trying to do things as often as possible. But it's not just the release of the pod, like you mentioned, it's everything that goes around it. So whether that's content for LinkedIn, content for Instagram, whether we've been doing reels, whether it's emails, whether it's just like hustling back and forth between messages and groups and things, like there's more work ever, forever, you know?
But I like the South Park sort of approach. You know how they just smash it out and it's always trending and it's always like, I do like that.
Yeah, yeah. Look, I'm not obsessed with perfection, I guess, but realizing you just got to feed off the energy of it.
People like the rawness, I think, you know?
Yeah.
We're not, if we put out a polished product from a couple of people that are definitely not polished.
And then they met us, they'd be like, oh, you're a letdown. You know what I mean? You might as well just be shit up front. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, Robbie, you're not gonna, you know, marry your partner and then, you know, like be a completely different person on the pod or anything. Christ.
Yeah, that's it.
He doesn't do that. What do you mean? He collects shells. He doesn't play guitar.
Oh, she'd call me out too. I reckon she'd be the first one to say that's not him.
You know, it was funny. You were saying before about, I guess, gathering skills or just, you know, skilling up during the process. You know, a lot of people can work out how to, you know, go on tech speak, like, you know, work out what an RSS feed is and work out streaming platforms and how to connect to Spotify and all that stuff. But, you know, it's that conversation and just sort of keeping the energy and a conversation and really getting people excited to be speaking to you. That's the main key, right? Well, and that's what a lot of people would sort of really need to work at, as opposed to spending a frustrating hour or so working out how to get the, you know, the fucking iTunes feed updating.
Yeah, 100%. I think from the outset for our approach was to treat the podcast like a bit of a band, you know what I mean, and not really care too much. I don't know. You liked that approach too, Rob, didn't you? You were all aboard having some fun, weren't you?
Oh, it's just everything we talked about, even from the way, I think what we tried to do differently with the pod was we said it from the start, said in a lot of our episodes, we used a LinkedIn first approach to marketing our pod, and we give credit to our listeners who are super intelligent people who...
That's what we value the most. We weren't looking at the likes and going, oh, there's 10 people. Oh, there's only 10. You know, it was like, who's actually listening? Who's engaging with us? And we're like, wow, these are some incredible people. And that's what sort of ticked us.
It's like super high people from like Atlassian, Facebook, REA Group, AirWallet, Xero. Like they're not dumb people, you know, they're super smart people, whether that's people who work internally at these companies or whether they're self-made entrepreneurs in their own startups as founders or early stage.
They're creators. They're interesting.
And for us, it was like, well, how do we put something out there that resonates and that is going to be, I guess, recognized by these people? And it was for us, it's like if you scroll back over Locke's posts over LinkedIn while everyone was at home during COVID, is we intentionally created, I guess, a brand perception is that you look at our photos, everyone is dressed up in a suit and looking schmicko, and there's us with beards and beanies on, photos that drinking VBs on LinkedIn. That's just not something that you normally see. And for us, that's just who we are.
Yeah, and I couldn't be, to be honest, it's so hard faking it and drumming up with the perfect copy and all that stuff. It's like, I don't know, I'm just going to treat it like real life. If it was hard for me to do it and it looked shit, then I'll look back at some of the stuff that we've done and go, fuck, oh, that's pretty average. But then it's all, I love looking back and going, oh, I learnt from that, and not everything. I can actually map it out and see, and I don't care if anyone can see it.
Yeah.
100%.
I think I sort of on that train, like I mean, like we've spoken, like obviously you've got some mates who've sort of come to the Fuck Up Nights events and all that. I actually a slight disappointment for my year with the podcast, like promotion, especially through LinkedIn, was probably not speaking as much in my sort of real tone of voice. So just sort of, I don't know, like a little bit after it, I was just like, fuck, I wish I'd just been a bit more natural. I don't know if I'm unintentionally trying to spruik this, but it's not meaning to come out this way.
Yeah.
So it's interesting you're saying that, because it's sort of, you take it one way and you take it another, and you never quite get the right balance. But it feels good when you do something which is just completely spur of the moment. People receive it, love it. They love you for it. It just connects with them. And it's just an innocuous thing, not overthought too much.
Well, everyone's got their drive-through voice, their phone voice. You know what I mean? Hey, how's your day? You know, we all got that fake energy. You know what I mean? It's all good.
Yeah.
It's hard. Did you feel that because you did, obviously, the episodes you had them all batched up, and then when you released them, you might have had whatever. Like for us, I think for us is because we've been just pumping them out week by week.
Yeah.
We've been getting this, our feedback, and it's like that constant.
Feels like you're living in a, it's like reality's changed a bit. You know what I mean? Like it's just, it was the next thing after the other. It was like, it consumed us.
I think if we had have tried to do it in a different way, like with a couple of weeks, we were left scrambling going, fuck, we got to release an episode on Thursday and Tuesday. We haven't got,
hey, let's
an
just episode. Do one about ourselves. And like, would anyone listen? It's too early. It's episode three.
Yeah.
No, we like, yeah, I know it was, yeah. I don't know. I know we definitely have to level up and be smarter about it, and that like definitely has to happen. But I think for us doing it this way for this year has been like a pilot year for us. I'd sort of treat it as like getting things off the ground, figuring, just navigating a way to get into the game. And now I feel like we're in the game, and now we know all these amazing people.
We're just sort of the controllers of our own destiny. You know, like really, the podcast only stops when we stop recording.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it might have been sort of your question, but I think last thing on sort of my circumstance was, I did a batch of them and it felt good at the time, but then I probably built it up into a bigger thing than it needed to be. And now I've been releasing like a last batch, and it's felt much more natural, and I feel much more myself. You know what I mean? Yeah, so sure. It's so enjoying that aspect, and probably take a fair bit of inspiration from yourselves in that regard too. Just the, sort of the way you've approached it, it's much more how I would sort of like to sort of take that approach, which is cool.
I guess.
What's I going to say? Fuck, you know, like, and I was having the chat with Jaden. I just keep just keep pumping you guys up, like just sort of talking you up nonstop.
Oh, we love it. We might call you every day just to get a bit of a rev up. Whenever I'm feeling
that's
down.
That's it. I'll be your goddamn Tony Robbins.
No, I like it though.
What are you doing for your birthday tonight, Gaz? What's on the
Shit. So going to get some American barbecue.
Oh, I love that.
Going to go to the cinema for the first time since February.
What are you watching?
Bring some, what are they called? The wipes down so you can wipe down their seats and make sure there's
Wear the shield.
Wear the bubble when you go out.
I saw on Twitter the other day, someone had taken a photo of, I think cinemas had just opened somewhere in America. They took a photo of the other person in the cinema, but forgot their flash was on. So you just got this, this guy sitting on his own, who like looking over at some random person taking a photo of him in an empty theater.
That's brutal, isn't it? It's brutal. I always wonder that, how many photos am I in, like in the background, like at an event or something. I'd love a photo album full of that. Of just that'd be like my worst
face.
Side face, double chin, buck teeth. Give me that.
You know, when you were saying, actually, something just occurred to me. I think it was what you were saying about being gigs or something, but someone who I don't know whether you know, but his name's Scott Cooper. He's a great guy and sort of connected with a few of the guests that you've spoken to. But he formerly was very much a part of the Melbourne hardcore, punk hardcore scene. And he wrote a great article on Medium about 3 or 4 years ago or something. But he basically said, you know, everything I learned about being in the the startup space was from being in a band. And so we just made a number of analogies to, you know, like, because you do a lot with not much when you're sort of in a band and all that. And then he sort of applied that analogy to what he does within sort of, you know, marketing within the tech space. So I've always sort of like, even though he's a mate, I always enjoyed that sort of perspective on, you know, what we're doing and what this is all for.
Oh, 100%. We've got a friend called Tammy who's done, she done a Pause Fest talk with Naughty Nigel Dalton, who's a friend of the show. And yeah, spoke about the same thing about the musical analogy into, I don't know, Rob's probably better off to talk about this because you know exactly what the talk was about.
Oh, I went to the Pause Fest. It was good.
Number one fan.
Number one fans. They talked about the similarities between bands building a product and tech teams. So obviously, Sam and Agile. My background and Nigel's background is in agile coaching. So helping people, teams, and organizations being the best, happiest, healthiest, productive versions of themselves. And what they did was they got up there and they did their chat about they live created a song on stage by picking people out of the audience. So they got someone to come out and Tam was singing, reading off someone's text message, and someone from the audience was playing bass guitar, and someone else was on the drums. Yeah. And it was just a really cool experience. But
people can learn from bands. I know you come from the sporting background, and Tammy has that music flavor, and I can see both sides, and I love it.
Yeah, well, sports and teams is an easy analogy, but I didn't realize how much similarities there were with like bands and the cohesion that exists between
like
them. And
marketing a band, like if you're an early band playing, you know, pub shows and stuff, you're an early stage startup. You know what I mean? You're doing the marketing. How are we going to play our next show? You're booking the events. Like you're learning all them skills. Like Trad's a perfect example. You know. From being in a band to running venues to now doing Built to Spill, what a legend! It doesn't have to be that, you know, you've done this, you've done that. Like everyone knows that now, I think.
Well, that's it. Just in case I hadn't elaborated properly before, I was just listening earlier to your most recently released episode with Trad Nathan, which is a fantastic listen. So if you're interested in someone's journey from throughout, I guess, bands and music through to, you know, eventually starting venues and then you know, a new sort of wine product. It's such a wild story, and he's an amazing storyteller. But let us know. I don't want to sort of pinpoint specific people, but what about some messages that have just utterly, you know, really just landed with yourselves on the other side of the microphone?
I think for me, the first one was the biggest thing I learned was Avi Zelenko when he talked about information dissemination. I had no idea what it was, and then when he explained it, I was like, oh, that totally makes sense. Rob recently had another one about conscious capitalism.
Conscious capitalism. I don't know, but tell me which one stood out for me though, not the conscious capitalism one. I've loved Sean Ellis, who does the book Growth Hacking. He was the original growth marketer at Dropbox, Eventbrite, and he's been involved in, I think, 4 unicorns using his growth marketing skills and expertise. And
his IP, baby.
We went out there and he was one of the ones early doors. We said, let's fucking get him, Locke. Oh, and I was like, get him.
He was on your wet dream list, wasn't he?
He was. And he's over in Cali and he looked like his hair was immaculate. He'd be walking around, strutting around down the foreshore down there. I'm sure he's having a good time. But talking to him and someone who's like, I've read his books back to front religiously.
Poster on your wall.
He's I'm a bit of that's a bit of a nuffy moment for me, you know, like a bit like you guys would be with bands, getting to talk to Sean Ellis and having him, I guess, being able to pick his brain, like the person I read his books of, this guy who I would think that I'd never be allowed to talk to. And then all of a sudden, there he is. I'm sitting in my office in Torquay talking to Sean Ellis about growth marketing and what was the growth equation you wrote and what were the variables that led to the explosion of growth for Dropbox? I shouldn't be allowed to ask that question. Who am I?
I know. But it turns out, right? Like if you just ask, then people will probably respond to it.
Yep.
Like not to get away from the messages, I'll come back to it. But as a practical thing, like I'm sure you've noticed maybe some people have voiced to you like, can I get some pointers or tips on starting a podcast? And one thing I've always sort of kept in mind is that a few people have said, oh, you know, gonna, but I was that person at one stage as well. So I really don't, anyone I've sort of interacted with that have said, oh, you know, I'm gonna do it. I'm just like, please hit me up if you want some pointers, like, let's just help you just get started. Cause if you get started, you'll sort of follow a bit of momentum. And at the very least, if you get a few out there, then that's something to feel proud of. But from a practical perspective, say someone like Sean Ellis. How did you get in contact or sort of work up the moxie to get in contact with him?
Oh, to be honest, he was just on our dream list, and we use LinkedIn quite heavily, and was just like, I'm just going to hit him up and just see what he says. And he just flung us back and goes, I would love to be on the Funny Business Podcast. And I'm an avid listener. I've loved it since the start. And, you know, the rest is history. Cool. We actually got another guest from him, which was Tim Ash. And he was another great guest that we had on.
100%.
And he's got a book called Unleash Your Primal Brain. And that was all about through periods of time, how the brain evolution has changed. And he explains it in it's a primal way, wasn't it?
Yeah, his book, Unleash Your Primal Brain. It was unreal.
This is sick.
He was a killer.
It's funny. Not to go away from that into like my own sort of example, but you know, like I run a lot of events and now the podcast. Like I just see it as this like great opportunity to just keep upskilling and you know, shit, like you know, free practical like education from the horse's mouth, so to speak. It's so you're sort of on this train yourselves. Sorry, I'll frame that more as a question. How do you find that in terms of sustaining your motivation? Is it just this like rolling, like you might be lacking a little bit and then you have this like new conversation and that just reinvigorates you for the next, you know, few days, week or so?
I think every conversation that we have, most guests that we have on, there's always something that they say that resonates and inspires us. Like we feel so lucky that we'll be able to do this and get the opportunity to speak to these people. So even if we're having a shit day and things aren't going to plan or whatever, you know, as soon as we start chatting, we're always energized after chatting to them, and it always and then it sort of leads to different moments like the Channel 9 moments and all the other sort of moments that we've been having. And then it's sort of like champagne and razor blades. I know I had a recruitment background, and it's like you ride them waves anyway. So it's like you sort of get used to things just fucking up, and it's like, I don't know. We said from the start, even from Obies, we were like, we're professional problem solvers. Like, we fell in love with the process of just figuring it out and just sort of fucking backing ourselves and falling in love with our brains and our ideas and just sort of having a crack.
It's amazing what you can make happen when you just put your mind to it and go, well, rather than saying, well, this won't happen or this can't happen, it's like, let's go out there and see what we can make happen. And if we can go, if we can get some of it to work and we can learn and we go, all right. And then the more things you try, I'm sure that you had your startup night. What was the night that you ran, your fuck-up night? That's all it's about.
Fuck up nights, right? Yeah.
You know, it's about getting out there, trying new ideas and experimenting and learning to enjoy creating smaller, I reckon the smaller the better, obviously, because you can try more ideas, but then not being too deflated when something doesn't work and just expecting everything as an opportunity to learn.
What do you reckon, apart from like the learning and the upskilling, what do you reckon you've learned about yourself? Like in terms of, noticing your main strengths, like you were just talking before about like problem solvers, but in terms of personality traits, is there sort of anything that surprised you along the process?
Oh, probably work ethic for me.
Yeah.
Finally found something that I've been making bloody mixtapes since I was a kid, and coming back full circle and doing it now, it feels like it all makes sense. So for me, pursuing something that just doesn't feel like you know what I mean, like a job, it's all like smashing it out and actually enjoying it and being enthused by something. It's like my first taste of falling in love with the process of doing something, and now it's like an addiction.
Yeah Very cool. Sorry, Rob, what were you saying?
I was just pumping Locke's tires up. That was good. Well done.
Hey, before I go into like a little bit of each of your backstories, just because you've referenced whether it's football or recruitment, etc., I just want to like hone in just specifically on you mentioned LinkedIn. You've used that as your channel of choice, and you talked to Jaden about it extensively in your episode, as I did a little bit with him as well. Just tell us about that process. Like, did you envision marketing it out through there, or it would sort of help elevate this pet project into something like way bigger that's sort of changing your lives?
Well, initially it wasn't going to be on.
And meanwhile, they should fucking pay you, like, right? Like, they should, like, you're like, hey, using it hardcore. They should be granting you, like,
we're ready for the sponsorship,
influencer credits.
Yeah, ready for the sponsorship. We're open, very open. The door is open.
Yeah, phone's on, just waiting by the phone.
We had a big shout out to Suzuki on our LinkedIn today, actually. So we actually publicly called him out today for the first time. So we'll see if we get any traction. We could be sponsored by Suzuki by when this airs, actually. But to get back to your point, I think initially this was just meant to be a LinkedIn project because I had the recruitment background. So I was like, for me, it was about the networking. And I quickly learned that nobody really likes recruiters. They're just like, fuck off. And it's like, fair. You know, most recruiters are a bit annoying. So sort of was about having another angle, but it was about showing my personality, I suppose, a bit more. And like a lot of things, you know, a lot of people we talk to and give advice to, it's about just sort of, I don't know, sort of putting yourself out there and having a crack. And I don't know.
For us, like, we definitely were 100% all in on the LinkedIn train when we first kicked this off. And for us, it was about who do we actually really want listening to our pod and where do they live, you know, and we can go and get our dick togs on and stand there and take photos for Instagram if we wanted to, but we thought,
don't have six packs.
Yeah, probably won't get much traffic. You know?
No click.
But for us, like we mentioned, we're trying to talk to people like the Sean Ellis's of the world and people who are the first people who are using the first API to run Facebook ads for Candy Crush, like who are actually interested in that topic and where do they live. And what we thought from day one was that, to be honest, I think they live on LinkedIn. And what we found was that there's an opportunity in the fact that Australia has so many active LinkedIn users, but not many people actually put out content. So LinkedIn is transforming from that platform that was originally just like, hey, I have to have this because it's like my digital CV. And now it's sort of merged and evolved and morphed into this content platform. So if you play it well, it's just as powerful, if not more powerful, than any of the other platforms because you get more organic reach.
Exactly. I was sort of making this like remark, or actually in our chat to Jaden, I was sort of like, it feels a little bit like, you know, back when I was in a band, like you'd gather your Facebook likes, but when you launched an event, you just reached all of them. There was no Facebook ads. There was no, nothing. You just reached your audience. And so it feels like, you've hit a great sort of time for yourselves personally to have this like passion project launch in between that time where LinkedIn sort of transitioned from that CV tool into a content platform before, you know, organic reach was dissipated inevitably, which who knows when the fuck that'll happen. 6 months?
Yeah. Well, tell him about what you experienced. You're not happy. He walked in today and he was just like, I don't fucking get it.
I don't get it. We had to chat to Arvi. So we chatted to a dude called Arvi Zelenko, and he was, when we originally chatted to him, he was a senior product manager over at Atlassian, and he's jumped across to LinkedIn. He's now the senior product manager of the LinkedIn feed. And we're hitting him up going, Arvi, mate, what goes on in this algorithm? How do we actually get views? Because to be honest, it's a really confusing platform. I still don't understand what works and what doesn't. So we have some posts that go bananas and has over like, I got one example of a post that has like 130 reactions and 30 comments, but organic reach, it only got 2,200 views. For me, I'm like, but then I can post I posted a thing with a Monsters Inc. example of a content talking about the US elections, and it got like 9,000 views. And I'm like, what actually wins, Arvi? You know? And he wouldn't tell us because obviously he's got that under lock and key behind a fingerprint sensor, an eye sensor, and then you have to draw blood, I think.
I know what you mean. I sort of I tested a few hypotheses like a couple of times with photos that I'd taken myself that I'd post on there. They do phenomenally well, but then a few fell flat and I'm like, oh, okay, maybe just debunk that. And then a few times, you know, posted out at a particular time on Sundays and that was killing it. And then, and then it didn't. And I was like, oh, well, you know, I can't work this shit out. Like this doesn't make any sense.
I just think,
but like, I guess,
there is no rule though, Gaz. I think that's the rule. The rule is there is no rule.
Fuck the algorithm and just do your thing, I reckon.
Yeah, that's it.
Well, speaking of your thing, so like you referenced it a little bit, I don't want to get too into like a full linear thing, but maybe we'll start with you, Rob. So you played footy before, and what's and then you've mentioned you've also become an agile coach. What's a bit of the story there in terms of how that transition was between the two, or maybe some semblance of your upbringing that sort of, you know, dictated that you would sort of enter into that agile coaching realm?
Mate, I had no idea I was going to be an agile coach. I didn't know what an agile coach was. I still really don't, to be honest. But to be honest, when I out of school, I grew up as a super sporty kid, and always my dream was to either go to the Olympics or play in the AFL. And I was lucky enough to be a pretty talented kid that I could have some choices in what I wanted to do. And lucky enough, I ended up on Richmond's list in 2000. I was there for 2010, 2011. And for me, growing up as a kid, wanting to do nothing ever besides, I still did sports. My mum, I still did pretty well at school. Like, my mum's a school teacher and my dad's a Sparky. And his whole thing was, I don't want you to end up on the tools like me. And her thing was, you've got to have something to fall back on because sports careers don't last forever. So I was studying an undergrad degree while I was still playing footy at Richmond. And unfortunately for me, my career was pretty short-lived. I had a couple of years in the system and I floated around and played some semi-professional footy. So I played footy for Werribee in the VFL, and I flew up to Northern Territory and played some footy up there in Darwin. And to be honest, it just wasn't what I imagined as a kid. You imagine it just be like this amazing experience, and it's pretty cutthroat industry. And I was very young. I was 18 years old, never really worked a day in my life. And there I am playing elite professional sports against hardened bodied men in a transition period from old school mentality to the new age understanding of emotional intelligence and mental health and well-being. Yeah. So I think my experience really shaped who I am as a person, and it led me on to study organizational culture. And I went on to do a master's degree in international business, which focused a lot on sustainability and understanding what dynamics go into effective leadership and organizational culture, as I mentioned. So I didn't really know what I wanted to do afterwards, and I struggled to actually find employment. I had my first job after playing footy was I worked at EB Games selling PlayStation games. And my story, I like to say, is that it was a bit of a reality check for me going to High Point out in the west of Melbourne, carrying around a backpack full of resumes, trying to get a job after playing in front of 50,000 people on the MCG the year before.
Kicking a snag.
And people saying I'm not skilled enough to get a part-time job selling $12 T-shirts at JJ's, you know. It was pretty ruthless, and it fucked me up in my head a little bit. And lucky enough, I end up selling video games, and one of the games we sold was the AFL game. And funnily enough, I was a character on that video game. And a couple of times one kid come in and recognized me and was like, oh, aren't you on that game? I go, yeah, mate, I am. But if you want to buy it, $69.95.
Yeah, only $39 at JB Hi-Fi, by the way. But that's right.
It's a bargain over there. We do price match. We've been by 10%.
Fascinating. Look, it's for, you know, when you lump it all together, and not just based on that, you know, all the guests make sense, etc. But you can see all these interesting influences in your life, like everything from the education through to the agile, through to you know, experiencing new sort of environments and culture and all that. Sort of, it makes the project and the curation of the speakers make a lot of sense. And so it's funny that you found reverse engineered like an opportunity to cover all these aspects that you're inherently interested in, from sport through to what I was just mentioning.
100%, mate. It's been an interesting journey, to be completely fair. And I do owe a lot to Nick Poles, who was our first guest on the podcast. He gave me an opportunity to jump into the business world, and he's still one of my really good friends to this day. And I just very thankful that someone could see past potentially my experience on a piece of paper and saw me for the skills and experiences that I've had, that there was actual value in what it was, and that I wasn't a no-hoper. And for me, that was a really challenging thing, because I've always been driven to be at the highest level I could possibly play at. And once that got to that point where I was trying to transition industries and transition careers, and people are sitting in job interviews literally crossing off my experience as a professional footballer saying, why did you even include that on your CV? And I was like, well, what do you mean, why didn't I fucking include it? What did you do for those 2 years of your life? I was out running clinics for kids and going, running school clinics, running sponsorship clinics, doing public speaking, being 7 days a week as a professional athlete, playing in front of crowds. How does that experience not carry any weight? And I found it was just amazing that literally people didn't even want to have a conversation with me, because there was just such a bad stigma around sports players. And for me, I was just a I'm a little mama's boy, you know?
Me intelligent.
Yeah. Me. Anyway, that's my little rant.
I like it. It's a good story. Honestly, I've been lucky enough to you know, hear the ins and outs. And just, I think, like you said before, Gaz, just the experiences and stuff like that has really shaped the way we do things now. And like I tell Rob all the time, like, it comes full circle. Like, you know, the culture thing, and now he's sort of, you know, he's in that culture space, and he's pioneering some different things and thoughts and trying to help people genuinely, because he knows what it's like to be there on the other end when it is shit. So it comes from a good place, and it comes from a place from understanding.
Thanks, mate.
That's it. I'm going to wrap it up. What I'll do now, Locke, I'll ask you about yourself, and then we'll sort of end with the lead out, and we'll talk about the t-shirt, and then just basically what's next with what you want to reference.
Yeah, cool, man. Easy. I suppose my story is a little bit different to Rob's, and that's why we're kind of yin and yang. I done high school up at Erenbank in West Meadows, which is no longer there. It feels like everywhere I've been is no longer there. I used to work at Jetty Surf at Broadie, no longer there. My primary school, Broadie West, no longer there. So I feel like I'm like a human wrecking ball. So
tell a story about your class and
lucky enough to get into CEDAR, which was one of the first programs with Cricket Victoria. And that's lucky enough to meet Hamish and Jamie, who were friends with Robbie. Got into the CEDAR program. We were sort of like the pilot year. So it was the first sort of test sort of subject we were. So we were treated like royalty. We were going down, we were situated at the Junction Oval down in St Kilda, and the people at the fish and chip shop loved us. They wanted autographs and that, and we were 17. So we were frothing it. We were okay at cricket, but not the best. We weren't playing for Victoria, but we soaked it up. So then from there, I just went to uni, sort of a bit lost, didn't really know what I was doing.
What study did you dive into?
I was sport and rec management and events, and really I just sort of rocked up. I didn't really go to many lectures or it's not to say like it doesn't work, it just wasn't for me. I saw lots of people who treated it seriously and were in it and knew what they wanted to do, really kill it. So it is good for people who want to do it and do it that way, but for me it wasn't really the path. And I think growing up in Jacana, Broadmeadows, and I didn't really see much of the world and really like what it was like. And I think for me, the big thing was traveling. And I was lucky enough to work overseas over in Canada as a lifty at Kicking Horse in Golden, BC, which is a beautiful part of the world. And I think that experience just shaped me personally. I think meeting new people from different cultures and just experiencing the world felt like I was sort of in a snow globe where I was at home. And now it's like, well, I can do sort of anything, and I can be myself and make friends, and then from there come back and done hospitality. So always sort of customer facing roles, managing pubs and bars, the Union Hotel, Moonee Valley Racecourse, and then into recruitment. I quit my job because it was just too much in terms of the hours working nights in hospitality, and just wanted to get my nights back and have a bit of a life, and quit. And then fate had it. It's sort of backing yourself and just sort of throwing yourself out the deep end. And I just quit. And then the next day, Rob tagged me in a post with Jess Harwood from Just Digital People. I got a job as a recruiter. So that was my first taste of the corporate life. And that's when I really knew that everyone fucking hated recruiters. what am I doing? It was sort of for me, you know, it wasn't sales. I didn't really want to be a salesman, but it kind of was. And I think my skill set in terms of my strengths is probably chatting to people and talking and engaging, and
lots of people personally. If you haven't picked that up by now, like, I've never seen someone make people feel so safe and relaxed. He's like the extractor, he likes being called the extractor. But it's funny, like, I'll give one story. Like, we had Adriana Zumbo on the podcast, and we were talking he was messaging back and forth, and just how comfortable people feel around Locke to just share information and be themselves. And anyway, Zumbo was saying how he played rugby and stuff as a kid, and how Locke was asking him things like, what's your PB? You know, he said, what's your 100-meter PB, and how fast are you? And just things like, who asks people those questions, you know?
But we did have a moment. I was sitting at the Moonee Valley Racecourse. I was working hospitality in the hours and stuff, and we had a moment in the car when we were chatting, because I feel like a lot of people feel like that, where they're a bit lost and they just don't know what they want to do. They don't know where their skills lie. And I think it was just more about putting yourself out there and just making the decision to just do it. Like, it doesn't matter what you do, just figure it out, put yourself in there. And I think that attitude and that approach has just sort of snowballed. And then it's became my whole thing now. So it's like, I don't think it was anything in terms of one set thing. I think it was just a mindset thing of and having the confidence and just making decisions. I think you asked a question earlier about one of the biggest things you've learned. I think make decisions quickly. Yeah. It doesn't matter if they're right or wrong. Just deal with it. Like it'll all work out.
Trust
in the
wash.
Trust your gut. Like, fuck it. We're human. We have to.
Yeah.
We're not robots. We can act on instinct, you know.
Have you heard of Esther Hicks?
Okay, guys. Hey, what's that? Sorry.
Have you heard of Esther Hicks? She's not my auntie. No. It's surprising we have to share the same last name. But she talks about the vortex and energy fields and not trying to get all spiritual charge of crystals out here, but I think it's really about trusting your intuition and being human. That first instinct is usually the best one. And I think I was listening to someone say the other day is if you people who sit on decisions and try and sum up how many things they are, most of the time you look back and it was some ridiculously high percentage of them actually regret the decision because they had too much time to they spent too much time sitting on something that didn't require that much time.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, it is, and it's not just that trusting your gut, but it's that further added element of you know, not being obsessed with perfection, right? Like not everything needs to be mapped out to its nth degree, and I think people just really appreciate that human, happy to put yourselves out there. I think fundamentally, like, people respect, say in the context of your podcast project specifically, the fact that you're very happy to put yourselves out there, warts and all, and do something which is starkly different to what a lot of other people are doing. And so it might not gather the respect of all of LinkedIn, but it'll definitely gather your audience and people who happily tune in and just curious to see what's next.
Oh, it's just harder. Like, we don't want to impress people who don't care. We're not trying to go, oh, hey, here, come to the party. It's more like, be the party and the right people will come.
If you're a corporate stiff and you can't get it.
We don't want to talk to you anyway.
Leave us. Yeah.
You're the problem.
Just keep scrolling anyway. Like, yeah.
Keep scrolling.
We're at the time where we're going to wrap it up. What I did was I told you that we'd have a chat for about 20 or 30 minutes and then, three fucking talkers get on a call and make it double in length. So I've cooked it inevitably. But I want to, basically it's to wish you the best for like what's upcoming. But I'll start with what is upcoming because I know you've recently released out a T-shirt. So I really like to send people somewhere to investigate further. And obviously there's a podcast, but what have you got on the way with what can be talked about? What's the T-shirt project and what are you excited about?
Alrighty, yeah. Well, there's a couple of things going on at the moment. We've got our Wellband tees, thanks to
Tessa and Ben,
the Common Good Company, and what they're made from 100% ethical and 100% recycled materials. Each tee,
clean as a whistle.
Each tee we've partnered with One Tree Planted, so each tee sold, we're donating one tree back to restore the Aussie bushfires. That's one of the initiatives we had going over the last couple of months, but. Those who missed out on tees, bad luck.
I don't know if we're doing another run. Maybe eBay, brother.
The thing that we're excited about at the moment is we've just launched our funny business Slack community. So a lot of people from all over the world in different industries, heavyweights and titans, and it's just interesting surreal. People just in there and sharing their stories and helping each other out. Like, just, I guess, really blown away by the response and how authentic what we've tried to create and that same environment and vibe we try to create on conversations, even like with yourself now and having this and feeling that essence of what we're trying to be about, bringing that into our Slack community and hopefully creating some opportunities to inspire others, connect others. And so just get around it and check it out. If you want to figure out where it is, it's on our Linktree. The link to join our Slack is on our Linktree, and we'd love to have you there.
We post it everywhere, don't we? It's our one link. Robbie loves Linktree.
The one link to rule them all, huh?
The one link to rule them
all. Well, yeah, and funny irony, you've had Alex Zachariah, one of the co-founders of it, on the pod, which is great. But I am looking at the episodes that you've recently released, and I see that just a couple before the Trad Nathan episode, you've got a little taster, your snacks episode, which goes for about 8 minutes on joining the Slack community. So that's very cool.
Oh, thanks, mate.
And what's coming up in 2021?
Oh, look, mate, we've got plenty of stuff happening. I don't think we can say too much in terms of the specifics, but I hate it when people do that to us.
He's a wanker, isn't he, Gaz?
Well, you say it then. You say it.
No, I didn't want to say that.
Yeah, we've got cool things. He throws me under the bus to do the dirty work, you know.
We've got exciting things coming, Gaz. Things we're going to announce
early next year.
We're going to try and get out from behind the screen and get some people seeing our faces in person, and we're excited to share a bit more about that. So those who are listening, keep your eye out because we're coming for you.
We're coming for you. I mean, we're in terms of the agile staff and all that.
There's just heaps of things, really, because now we're not working for anyone. I finish up on the 21st.
Plenty party of time.
Just things and stuff, guys. I don't know, things and stuff.
We'll message you.
Yeah. That's good. Speaking of fuck up nights, do you want to?
Oh, mate, would love to.
100%. Yeah, okay, cool. All right.
Mate, would love to. That's almost a dream of mine, Gaz. Can you make sure there's a photographer there getting some happy snaps?
Only at your worst moments. Look, guys, I want to thank you so much. And honestly, it's a big congrats from my end because, I really respect. I think it was something that may have started off small, was something that became, something to look forward to in a lot of people's lives in a pretty tough and cooked year. So really appreciate, obviously, the effort that you've put into it, but furthermore, really enjoying that you're, reaping some rewards and building a life out of it. It's absolutely awesome.
Oh, mate, Gaz, you are a bloody legend. We love the work that you're doing and appreciate you having us on and allowing us to talk shit and tell our story. And we can't wait to speak at your fuck up night. It's been an honour.
Thanks for spending some time on your birthday with us too.
Yeah,
mate.
Happy birthday, man.
I hope you go out and enjoy the night tonight and think, as soon as you press stop on this recording, I don't have to deal with those dickheads anymore.
It's true. It's the worst one I've ever had. But, until 2021.
Oh, capped it off nicely.
All the best, guys. And, congrats once again.
Cheers, thanks, guys. Mate.
Cheers. So that was my interview with Lock and Rob from the Funny Business Podcast, the last A Lot to Say podcast for 2020, and a great mashup to end the year, which was a bloody tough, draining one emotionally. And, it's conversations like these really help to take away, some of the difficult aspects and just enjoy the moment or being in the moment, which I love. So two ways to find out what the guys do. One is on Instagram. You can follow them at funnybusinesspodcast_AU. Or another is simply Google Funny Business Podcast Linktree. That'll take you to their Linktree account where you can view a bunch of the things they're wrapped up in. They've got their podcast, obviously, and their Instagram links. But, they've also got their Slack community that they're growing that they referenced, their YouTube channel, and even a free guide to LinkedIn that Lachlan's put together, which is super cool. So you can find Lachlan himself on Instagram at lockandroll_7. And you can find Robbie on Instagram at heyhicker. So thanks a bunch for the chat, you legends. I hope you're super proud of your 2020. And thanks all to everyone listening. It's been an immense year. I probably have nothing more to say, to be honest. But thank you if you tuned in regularly, semi-regularly or rarely. It's all appreciated. This has been a project that's been tough to put out there due to life, but also incredibly rewarding. I strongly recommend putting a podcast out there into the world if you had a thought to do so. Just starting it is the main setback, really. And if you enjoy being in the moment, you'll truly enjoy the output. I've had conversations on sex tech and cannabis and record labels and creating video game soundtracks and raising venture capital investment and failures and fuck-ups and more, all under the central theme of unconventional career paths and the projects that consume us. So you don't need much to get started. Every facet of this podcast is... from the artwork to the editing, etc., was done by only me. Absolutely learning as I go. So give it a shot. Hope you have a happy holidays now that we're heading into Christmas. And I'll see you in the new year with a series of new episodes of A Lot to Say. Music on this podcast is by my band Bateman, and you can find us on Bandcamp. And I put links to pretty much everything we discuss on any podcast episode in the show notes for each episode. So check them out and check them out for past episodes as well. So that's me. Gary Williams, aka Gaz, as people call me, and it's been an absolute pleasure. So, cheers.